Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He did it! A no-hitter! Kumar Rocker!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. On a game day Sunday morning, Sam and Greg with you. And thanks to ESPN, something amazing happened. It was one of our home folks, too. Write down the name Kumar Rocker.
Say it again.
Kumar Rocker. You're going to want to remember this guy's
name.
And
he ain't related to you, the first name that pops to mind.
Not that family of Rocker, but another family of Rockers that if you lived in Atlanta and you've grown up around this city, go back about 25 years ago, you remember his father and his uncle. So fantastic football players that went to play at Auburn and then in the NFL. That's the thing that happened with him last night. He's pitching for Tracy Rocker. Absolutely. Tracy Rocker and his brother
Ken
David.
Was yelling that to me.
Oh, Tracy Rocker, yeah.
I know, but he was yelling it to the wrong person, and I was sitting there going, hang on a second, that's not me. You need to tell Sam.
Of course, his brother and uncle his father and uncle were great players at Fulton High School before going on to Auburn University and playing in the National Football League. Kumar went to North Oconee High School. His father was on the coaching staff with Mark Richt at University of Georgia at the time. He is now on the coaching staff at Tennessee, but his son is playing at Vanderbilt, which is a fantastic, you know, college baseball program. And as a freshman, last night, pitching in the Nashville Super Regional, backs to the wall, Duke had won the first game. And, you know, Vanderbilt had to win this game in order to keep their season going.
Right.
They're going to get beaten on their home field. This guy goes out, a freshman, and he strikes out 19 and pitching a no-hitter. A no-hitter under that kind of circumstance, that kind of pressure, and an NCAA Super Regional. And, you know, I'm watching this guy. So this is a pretty big dude out there.
You know who he reminds me of? Or I should say remind me, but he looks just like, to me, on the mound when he pitches, Vita Blue.
Yep.
He looks just like Vita. It's somewhere between Vita Blue and Dave Stewart.
Okay. Whoa, Dave Stewart was
Dave Stewart. Yeah, man, Dave Stewart brought it.
Was a big guy. Big, menacing figure on the mound.
Yeah.
This guy had some nasty stuff working last night. He's 6'4", 255.
That's a big dude, Dave Stewart.
He's a big dude, and he brought it last night, and so we tip our cap to him. And as soon as he got off the mound, a Vanderbilt alum that you're not too crazy about, David Price, who also one of the all-time greats to play at that program, sent him a message on Twitter congratulating him. But we've seen Vanderbilt – great Vanderbilt players play here in Atlanta. Mike Miter, now Dansby Swanson. Right. Fantastic baseball program up there. And he now puts his name on a list and a guy to watch. And people say, well, didn't they have the baseball draft this week? Why didn't they draft this guy? He passed up going there from high school and he goes to college. It's 3 years.
Gotta stay.
Once you go to college and he's there, you want to be a part of a great college program and a program that has produced great pitchers. Well, now you're going to be on the lookout for this guy.
And he got some sense about him, too, because he got brought into Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
so
they don't just
he
let,
got some games
they
as far
don't
as,
just let anybody
as academics.
In there. I don't know if they would have let me in there. Said, well, you go down the hall and hang a left.
We have a seat waiting for you at Morehouse, Mr. Crenshaw.
We got something for you down there. No, I couldn't get it there. They said, you go down here and make a left turn and go across the street. That's what we have for you.
You going to put your hand on your heart now and just say hello to West Georgia.
Yeah, West Georgia, because West Georgia, yep. Absolutely.
Got his hand over his heart.
The alma mater took me in. So y'all going to let this guy in? I got in and made the most of it. Thank you to the alma mater.
Yeah. And he says that while just kind of clothed. What's it when you're cloaked? That's it. Cloaked in Georgia State apparel.
Yeah, because we're the home of Georgia State here. Georgia State Athletics, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, getting set to start their 10th season of football this year.
You're looking good, my man. Now, there's some other local things that were going on.
Just one other thing. Yesterday, of course, we had Coach McFerrin on, and we talked about coin flips and the Corky Kell 7-on-7. That's happening this Friday in Rawls with several locations. You want to go out and watch some 35 high school football teams going to be representing in that 7-on-7 tournament. It's a big, big, big event, and it should be a lot of a lot of fun. A lot of new coaches and faces in new places. Greg's not happy because McEachern's not one of the teams there.
I don't. How could you leave that program out?
They're usually always at this.
That's what I'm saying.
They must be at something else. They must be something, you know.
Is that because Coach Hockman, you know, checked out?
And Coach Stevens may have something else that they're attending this week.
Okay.
You know, so you know, we'll see what happens with them. But that's the teams that will be playing out there. Found out about something else high school football is happening, too. September 21st. Write this down on your calendar. September 21st.
That's my anniversary.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
September. And it's first line of the song I got hijacked. When she's right now screaming at me in the radio. She's screaming at me. That's our song. That's my song first.
Gonna get you. But September 21st at Georgia State Stadium, the Great Atlanta Bash will be a triple header of high school football. I found out last week. The three games will be South Atlanta against Washington, Carver against Maynard Jackson, and Mays against New Manchester. Those are three games at Georgia State Stadium, September 21st. A triple header called the Great Atlanta Bash. So that's what's coming up. We took August in baseball, though. And last night we were looking for Keuchel to pitch up in Gwinnett. And when we left for yesterday, we said, maybe not. And it didn't happen. And a lot of disappointment. Fans want to see him working now. It appears that because the weather's iffy today, he's been scheduled to pitch tomorrow at Rome with the Rome Braves, which makes me think we're going to make two starts before we won the big league club. Yeah, you go up there and you pitch against the single-A pitching, but I think you still want to see him go out and pitch against the triple-A before he joins the big league club. We'll see. But he plans to go out and not just have two or three innings. You know, from everything we've heard and everything we read, and I watched an interview that Nick Green did with him yesterday, and he feels like he's ready to go at least to get four or five innings. So we look forward to seeing that. Said Braves were one of the teams that were on his radar for a long time. Obviously, the connection with a former teammate in Brian McCann from Houston days doesn't hurt. And you wonder if this is a one-year thing or a half-season rental, as we like to call the players like that. I think he's actually coming here with an eye toward the possibility of this being something long-term. He's saying all the right things.
Right.
He wants to win a championship. He wants a place where, you know, and that's what he's saying he wants to do, be a part of a contender team, because he likes the organization and like the location here in Atlanta. So he's saying this was the place that he wanted to be, being and have someone who's been a catcher with him out in Houston with the success they've had there and the fact that they have some young arms here. But also brings on the question, whose spot in the rotation he going to get?
But this is where it gets fun.
Because Julio Teheran went out last night and said, ain't getting mine. Not me.
Music stopped. I got my chair.
You know, Julio Teheran went out and pitched last night. And that's what you watch now with this starting rotation. Teheran, six innings, no runs, five strikeouts, one walk, and he gets the win last night because the Braves make one run, stand up, and happens. Even Jackson gets the save. He comes on and pitches well late in the game. He just great game last night. You watch Austin Riley get the base hit, hustle it out to second, sack fly over to third, and comes home and slides head first at home with the one and only run.
You got a problem with that?
No.
Okay, but you said it like you had a problem with him sliding head first as opposed to sliding.
We just love to see everything we're seeing out of this guy. Mm-hmm. He's showing us incredible stuff. It took the Braves a while to get a hit, though. You know, it was a no-hit for a while, but they get a hit, and then a game-saving play turned into third by Josh Donaldson.
Right, yeah.
Just an incredible third-place play. It's one of those plays that, you know, you're off balance, you make the commitment, you charge it in, you know you got to make the throw over there. Freddie Freeman with this Willie McCovey stretch thing that he pulls it in, and they had to go back and replay it, but Donaldson was sure it was out. Donaldson went in the dugout, put his batting helmet on, because he was the first one up the next inning. He said, y'all can look at it if you want to. I know I got him. And so, I mean, that's cool, and it brings to mind a saying that we always have for football, that defense wins champions.
Which isn't always true, but point taken.
But you got to have some defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
In order to win. And so it's true in baseball as well. We think about pitching. We think about the hitting. Sometimes we don't think about defense. And that play by Donaldson last night, you know, reminds us that this is how you get there.
It also reminds us that baseball can have a Kawhi Leonard come in. That one person, can they change an organization? In baseball, can they do it? They can do it in basketball. There's five guys out there.
Well, especially
but baseball, it's football.
It's tough for a pitcher to do that. A pitcher can set a climate or an attitude among the team, but he can't be on for five or six you know, 5 or 6 days he'd be.
Okay, now here's an interesting point, because Ken came into my ear and said, Mike Trout, who is arguably the best player in baseball, he ain't got the Angels to the World Series, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem with what we're talking about, and we talked about this yesterday as we talk about Kawhi Leonard and what he's done for Toronto. We can speculate whether he's staying there or not, but he is – in any conversation about the top three players in the NBA, he's one of them, wherever you want to put him.
Absolutely.
All right?
Absolutely.
And for what he's done for this organization, it makes you wonder, could that be done by somebody in another sport? And has it? We've seen – I mean, here in Atlanta, if you've been following the Braves, we saw Chipper Jones put this team on his back in the late 90s and when he won his MVP. And he just ran over the Mets and everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
So, but that was still one player, and it didn't get him a ring. Okay? Can you do, in baseball and in football, with one player, what Kawhi has done in basketball?
Yeah.
And I don't think it can be done.
But
there are too many variables in place.
But you can't have a group with defense. And that's something I guess at 9 o'clock is going to bring up with us. Mark Simon is going to join us to talk baseball. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with them about the Braves, about the acquisitions here in Atlanta and Chicago this week. We're going to talk about your boys. But also, he wants to talk about defense in today's game, today's baseball. What teams are the top teams defensively, the top infields defensively, the top outfields defensively? Not individual players, but as far as teams go, he's going to have that for us. But it made us think out in the bullpen, and I just threw this out at you. I said, who would your Mount Rushmore be? Of Major League Baseball defensive players.
Before I give you mine, can I just throw one more out there that I'd actually forgotten about? We talk about one player changing an organization in a sport other than basketball, and I'm wondering, can you include Gretzky?
Well,
yeah. Possibly the one person who did it when he went to the Kings.
Went to the Kings.
But they didn't win. They didn't win.
But he changed the culture.
He changed the sport.
Raised the level of expectation.
The other person I'm thinking of is Patrick Waugh. Because a hot goalie can do that for an NHL team.
That's true.
All right.
That's true.
So I was just thinking about that because I don't remember Colorado being. I mean, they might have been, but anyway, those two names popped to mind. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you just joined us, been talking baseball and the Braves and what will happen next once Keuchel gets there. But Sam and I have, well, as he put it, a Mount Rushmore of defensive baseball players, which we are going to get to because we're going to talk defensive baseball later on in the show. But up next, we got to talk NBA Finals and especially Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Because they got a bushel of picks right now.
Yep.
And when we do that, we're going to talk to our boy, Bob Rathbun.
Bob Rathbun is going to join us. He got a bunch of guys in town ready to work out for the Hawks right now, and he's going to be over there. He's going to join us next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
Well, I do think in this draft, what you're going to see it's a deep draft with a lot of parity.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Travis Link, you just heard him talking about the Hawks. And as we get into this offseason, which is, in the mind of Mr. Crenshaw, going to be more fun than the actual NBA finals.
I want the games to get over with so we can get on with all the stuff that's going to happen afterwards. I've always been a games guy, but not this year.
Bob, are you looking forward to more of the offseason than the finals that are going on right now? Bob Rathbun joining Sam McGregor, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, I guess I'm weird. I like both. I like going over to the workouts this morning to watch the young men that we have coming in, and it's the start of a big week. I think we're at least scheduled to have guys come in all week. And then I want to see if Durant plays tomorrow night and see if Golden State can make this a game six in Oracle for one last go around there. So I guess I'm kind of strange that way. I tend to enjoy both.
All right. Well, we'll get to the NBA Finals in just a minute, but tell us what you're seeing over there at Hawks practice.
Well, it is just, you know, preparatory work for the draft next Thursday. We've got so many picks, so this has been a rather high volume of guys that are coming through, because not only for the draft, but also they're looking for guys to fill the G League roster that'll come to College Park this November. So there's a lot of activity, seeing a lot of young men come through, and, you know, it's building up to next Thursday night, and what I think is going to be a wild, wild draft night.
Think it will be, and I think the Atlanta Hawks have positioned themselves to be a part of it in a number of different ways. Thoughts about what the team did this week in picking up yet another first-round pick, Bob?
Well, of course, it's not official, and it won't be until the cap numbers come out. And I have been around long enough to know that until they send the press release saying it's official, don't count on it, because you just never know what's going on behind the scenes. If we know we've got 8 and 10, and we know we've got these second round picks coming, I think, Sam, not only the Hawks, but I think for all the clubs, this is the kind of draft where two things I think will happen. One, you're going to see a lot of movement for teams that don't have picks, that need something, will be willing to bargain. And I also think, as Travis, you played that soundbite a second ago of his interview last week about it being a deep draft in terms of parity. There's a lot of guys that look the same and act the same and fill the same type of roles in this draft. What I think you'll see is teams will not be looking at a draft number vis-a-vis the talent. Like you could say player X, well, he's a good player, but he's really not worth a number 5 pick or a number 7 pick or what have you. I think clubs are looking at this draft saying, you know what, if we like this dude, we're going to take him. And if it's 5th, if it's 9th, if it's 1st, if it's whatever it is, we're just going to go get this guy because we like him and we think he's going to fit into our team really well. So I think those are the two things you're going to see on draft night.
Bob, do you take that stance because this draft is so top-heavy and you can't go after – I mean, obviously, if they were sitting there and John Morant or Zion were available, yeah, you go after that best athlete. But now you have to kind of fill a need, fill that void. And you as a fan, along with being part of the broadcast team, where would you like to see them focus first or with that first pick?
Well, if it holds, I mean, you know, we may move up. Who knows what they're going to do? But I would think our number one thing is size. That, to me, is the biggest concern. You don't know about Dwayne Dedmon and his return. The only guy that you've got as a true 5 on the roster right now is Alex Len. And, you know, you got him for another year. So I would think that there's some concern about size, and whether that's addressed in the draft or free agency, I don't know, because, you know, Travis doesn't share that. But I do believe that that is, in my view, one of the most pressing concerns that we have. And if this Brooklyn thing happens, then, you know, you're looking at a roster that doesn't have a small forward right now by trade, guys that can play it. But there seems to be a glaring need there as well. So I would think those are the two concerns. If they can find them in this draft, great. If not, then it's going to be free agent time starting on the 30th of June.
Yeah. Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline this morning with Bob Rathbun. You can join him. He is social. He is on Twitter. You can follow him there at Bob Rathbun TV, at Bob Rathbun TV. Okay, now we talked about things locally. Talk about what we're going to see, you know, what you think of make of this NBA Finals and the way it has turned. Toronto in the position that they're in, I didn't expect to see this coming. But did you feel like the rash of injuries that kind of hit this Golden State team would open the window for this Toronto team, especially the way they've played defense and the way they've adapted? It seems like each and every night they've gone out to play.
Yeah. Well, you know, guys, injuries are part of it. We all know that. You've got to be able to be deep enough to navigate around them, even if it's a team like Golden State. I think the one thing that kind of sticks in my craw a little bit about the reaction is that Toronto is somehow not worthy. They have outplayed, outworked, outshot, out everything Golden State in this series. Golden State's lucky this thing isn't over. Toronto has absolutely dominated, and it just goes to show you what a Kawhi Leonard does and the experience of a guy like Danny Green does to your roster. I think a lot of us, at least in the media, just kind of sat back and said, well, same old, same old. This is Toronto. No, it's not. This is a different Toronto team, and they've showed it. And I think kudos to Nick Nurse. I think he has coached an amazing series. He's so willing to adapt. I mean, when's the last time a coach in the NBA had the, shall we say, intestinal fortitude?
I used that yesterday.
To play a box and one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
You know, he did it in the G League. You know, the guy is pretty cagey. He's done a terrific job. The depth of Toronto has been incredibly understated in this series. They have gotten so many contributions from so many guys. And I'll tell you, I thought Golden State Friday night looked spent. I thought they were just, they looked, stick a fork in them. They just looked done, wiped out. And listen, five straight trips to the final, that's a lot of mileage. You don't have Durant. You know, you've got Steph struggling after, you know, and he was due for a bad game, I think, after the way he carried the team. You know, Clay's not 100%, and he's still great. But they're not getting anything out of Boogie. The bench, you know, they got one guy playing with a broken collarbone. I mean, this, you know, that's a wounded team, and they're lucky that they're still alive, in my view. It could have been a sweep.
You know, it's funny, Bob Rathman joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You said that there are people who do not feel that Toronto is worthy of the title. And the funny thing about that is that when Golden State's at full, with everybody healthy and they're full effect, people feel the same way about them. Like, they got too many great players, and Durant shouldn't be on the team, and, you know, they just sort of stole the championship. That's the way they felt like about the other two, and had they continued this year being healthy, that's the same stance, but coming from a different angle that people have felt about this Golden State team. I think the person who is the MVP of this whole matchup, including both teams, is the general manager from Toronto, who fired his coach of the year, his most beloved player, pushed all their chips to the middle of the table for this one season, and here they are one game away from winning a title.
Yeah, and to take a guy like Nick Nurse off the staff. You know, you hear about coaching changes and, you know, who's the best guy. Well, had even with Kawhi and Danny Green and all and the changes that they've made, how about picking this guy as a head coach? And he's right under your nose. He's been an assistant there for the last 5 years or so. And he has stepped in and managed this beautifully. And I go back to the Philadelphia series. I mean, they were down 2-1 to the Sixers. And that, I thought, that game four was what turned everything in Toronto's favor. I thought the way that they handled themselves, even getting down 0-2 to Milwaukee.
That's the thing I thought about, Bob, the Milwaukee series.
Yep, the way they handled their business was a testimony to Nick and the staff and the players that they've got in that clubhouse. And you're absolutely right, Greg. I mean, this is a bold move to make a trade like that. But it just goes to show you there's about, well, I mean, I guess we could sit here and count them, but maybe 10 guys in the NBA that can do this, that can come in and raise your team to a championship level, and Kawhi is one of them. And, you know, kudos to Masai for doing this. It took a lot of guts to pull this off, but they're seeing the fruits of all that, because now they're 48 minutes away from an NBA championship that absolutely no one on this planet saw coming.
And Bob, to extend onto that, the other thing that makes this great is this is not taking a player who's was playing the season before where you could see his game. We didn't know what Kawhi Leonard was going to be like because he sat out that year before. I mean, we knew this guy was a finals MVP and he did all that stuff with San Antonio, but coming off that injury, you weren't 100% sure the Kawhi you were going to get. And yet he still did what he did, hoping, praying that the Kawhi Leonard that was in San Antonio had a chip on his shoulder, because that's what he did. He came to Toronto with a chip on his shoulder. He put one of the best coaches in NBA history and that organization on the back burner for his own wants and needs, and it worked out. No,
well, remember now, he was a finals MVP.
Right, and it was
just a matter of getting him healthy again, and your point is well taken. Nobody knew. I mean, I just can't believe that the situation in San Antonio deteriorated to such an extent that they felt the need to move him in the first place. But to get him back to this level, and I don't think he's even close to being 100% physically, but his leadership, the way he goes about it, you know, the shots that he hits, the defense that he plays, is just amazing. And it's for basketball, it is just a joy to watch. And I tell you, he doesn't get his due, and he doesn't get his due because of his personality. And it's shame on the media for not doing a better job in this regard. You know, we have so much of the national media that covers the NBA, buddy-buddy journalism.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I want to be invited to LeBron's next birthday party, so I am going to write and say nice things about him. Kawhi couldn't care less. He doesn't give these guys a time of day. So you don't see all these great flowery stories like you see about some of the other superstars. But this guy is just as good, just as important, just a driver to a championship as anybody in this league, and I'm glad that he's being recognized for it.
Maybe it's something he observed from a certain guy that used to play in San Antonio.
Who a couple guys.
Who didn't seek a whole lot of attention.
Amen.
But phenomenal players. Bob, we thank you for spending some time with us. You headed over to the Hawks complex at Emory to see them audition and, you know, enjoy your day over there with the young players. You know, if the real good one there, make sure he comes back and plays with the team.
I'll do it.
Bob, appreciate it.
Okay, guys, always a pleasure being with you.
Thanks.
All right,
that is
Bob Rathbun. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at Bob Rathbun TV, at Bob Rathbun TV.
You ever notice when you listen to Bob talk, he always talks like he's smiling?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard him just kind of be monotone. He's always talking.
Always upbeat.
And you know that.
And always excited about what he's doing. He's excited about what he's getting ready to do.
Yeah, and if you were watching him talk, you could see his teeth.
You do that. That's Bob Rathbun.
Speaking of people and teeth, someone lost some last night. And we're going to talk, believe it or not, a little boxing. There was some boxing going on last night.
Yeah.
And, well, just stick around. Sam's got to take you out of here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I'm going to tell you something that is incredible that I saw when I walked in here this morning that was up on the computers, and I think we should all be aware of. So I'm going to tell you that coming up in the casting call because it can wait.
It can wait.
But we as a planet cannot wait much longer. I guess something's got to be done. I'm serious. We need to get Bruce Willis on the phone or something. I'll tell you what I mean in a minute.
Bruce Willis.
Well, you'll see why in a little bit when I tell you. That's called a tease, man.
Yikes.
Yeah, exactly. It's something you should worry about. Sam was asking me, I was doing something before we came on the air, and I was flipping my fingers in a certain way as if to be somebody who was a clerk in the pits of the Mercantile Exchange or the New York Stock Exchange.
Okay.
And when you see those guys doing all sorts of gyrations with their fingers, that means something. So I used to work in the T-bills pit. So if you take your hand and you just hold up like 1 through 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's how you signal those three. But when you get to 6, you turn your hand sideways, so like as if to like a gun.
Okay.
So then 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then the 10 is one finger to your forehead. And that's how you send signals to your broker or to the phone clerk. So if gold is trading at 44.48, say, you've signaled the 48, those last two numbers. So you're doing this.
Now, are you sure people are watching you?
Yeah, you're only doing it to one person.
Okay.
Because there's a million people in the pit.
Yeah, that's what I figured. There's a whole bunch of people. I know who you pick out.
I got
you
my
watching.
Merrill Lynch broker is at the Merrill Lynch phone, and he's looking dead at me. Or that clerk is looking at me, and he signals me, and I give the sheet of whatever the trade is to the broker who's standing in the pit yelling. So that's how that works. You ready? So I'm going to put you in the gold pit soon.
Okay.
Sam and I coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking baseball, not just Braves and what's going on with them, but just kind of an overview of what's happening in Major League Baseball. All this before, of course, the All-Star break, and we're going to concentrate on the defensive side.
Yeah, because we have
baseball.
A guest coming up at the 9 o'clock hour who has been writing something about the top defensive infields and outfields in Major League Baseball currently. And it made us think about great defensive players. And if we were to do a Mount Rushmore
you asked this.
Of defensive players, who would it be?
I came up with one pretty quick, and then I changed it. Now, you want me to give you mine, and you'll do yours in a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it's real easy for me.
That easy?
Yeah, because didn't I just, like, name it real quick? I came out with Clemente. I mean, this is just my list, if I got to come up with four. Came up with Clemente, Ozzie Smith, Andrew Jones, and Griffey.
Okay.
Then
you changed.
Then I changed, and I took Ozzie Smith off. And you know who I put on?
You took off the Wizard.
I took off the Wizard, and I put on a guy who has how many more gold gloves than the Wizard? This guy has five more than the Wizard. I put Greg Maddux on.
Okay. Arguably, maybe the best defensive player the Braves have had in Atlanta. Arguably,
You know what? I can't. Well, let's look at this way.
That's what I'm saying.
Maddux has got 19, but okay. He didn't get them all with the Braves.
Right. But arguably the best defensive player, that puts him in that conversation. Is either he or one other person from that era.
Well, you're talking about Andrew.
Right.
Yeah. I got no problem with either one. Listen, Andrew doesn't need to do what he does except for fly balls. Okay, they make it out there. But if it's a ground ball up the middle, Maddux took care of it. Again, 19. In the 90s, for that whole decade, there were two guys who had the most, and it was him and Griffey. That's all you need to know. They're both on my Rushmore. So those are my four. Again, that's what you argue about, but you're going to give yours at the top of the hour?
Top of the hour.
Okay.
I'll give you mine.
Sam and Greg.
If people want to weigh in with theirs, you can. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Or you can call us and join the conversation.
Same number.
404-741-0929. Your defensive Major League Baseball's Mount Rushmore. We were going to talk a little boxing because there was some boxing. Go ahead.
I got to do a switch over here.
Go ahead.
Take a break.
Go ahead.
Yes. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you are just joining us, I gave my list of my top defensive baseball players of all time because we're going to be doing that, as Sam just said a minute ago. But there was boxing last night, and I didn't even know about this. I had no idea that Triple G was fighting.
Triple G was fighting. I mean, that's the thing. If you're not, I guess, a subscriber to this platform that they're on, for boxing, you may not. You have to follow it really closely. But, you know, like I said, boxing went away from HBO. You know, it went away from HBO. And so they have this contract. And so he's fighting on that particular platform. And he was in action last night.
Well, here's how it ended.
That's the same shot that hurt Marco Antonio Rubio.
Golovkin now backs up. And, yes, a right hand to the head. Rolls does look rocked. Hooked to the head as well. And he's hurt. Rolls tries to fire back, but he's on wobbly legs. And he misses that hook and a right hand over the top. That hook landed, and down goes Rolls in a heap. This might be over already.
This fight is over.
His right arm is pinned down. Rolls looks up.
8, 9, he's out.
There's your answer.
That is courtesy of Dazen.
Dazen, and that was Rolls. Rolls got rolled out. But a left hand to the head, it was done, man.
And listen, Triple G got like tagged
early in the fight. He was getting some shots off, but man, Triple G went in and did what he always does. And it sets up a thing, the crowd basically afterwards they're watching, said they want to see him fight Canelo Alvarez, again. And and I think they'll be made basically because these guys are both under the contract with Dazen.
All right, explain to our audience the platform thing that you had mentioned a second ago, because there's a reason why certain fights will or haven't taken place, and Wilder's one of those.
Yes.
So break this down, would you?
Wilder's not a part of this, but I think Anthony Joshua is a part of this. And it's what happened last night kicked off a 6-fight, 3-year, 9-figure deal with a sports streaming service, Dazen. That's for Golovin. This is who kicked it off. It signaled him as the expiration of his contract with HBO as a network exited from the boxing business at the end of last year. This was according to ESPN. So that's what's happening. As HBO went down, the guys who were under their umbrella, most of them have come over to Dazen, which is this platform you can subscribe to for their fights. And it's a big money deal. They have the guys on who they know. They figure are the money makers in the sport. But then again, they get in a position also to make you wait your turn, if you want to unify the belts. And I think that's the thing that's happening right now that you're watching with Anthony Joshua, who is got beat last week,
by John Daly,
by the Michelin Man.
He's still won. He's a champ. So John Daly's a champ.
Yeah,
he's not your quintessential champ, but he's a champ. And this guy's a champ now. So you can't be calling him no names like Michelin. And don't call him Butterbean either, because Butterbean didn't hold a belt.
Butterbean never
This guy holds a belt. So you got to compare him to somebody.
Butterbean never went past the fourth round. So
compare him to somebody who's actually got it done, too.
Yeah, he did. We're going to get a rematch for that. And, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, right now Wilder has another fight he's got coming up. He's looking at Tyson Fury. If Tyson Fury wins his next fight, then they would have a rematch, and that would be later on this year. So, you know, if Joshua wins the rematch, nothing can happen between, you know, Wilder and until probably the middle of next year. So we're waiting that long for the fight that I think the heavyweight fight that everybody wants to see.
Didn't Dazen, is that the company that bought MMA? They went in and gave Dana White and all those guys like $4 billion. We were talking about this a year or two ago when that price that MMA sold for, UFC, was the same price that NASCAR, or at least it was alleged that NASCAR put out there as a feeler to see if somebody wanted to buy the sport from the France family. And the fact that NASCAR, which has been around for decades, was going for the same price as this relatively new sport in MMA. And I thought it was Dan's. And that also the folks that threw all that money at Federer, too. Because Federer left his whoever he was playing for. Okay. I don't know if it was Nike or whatever.
Okay.
But he left them, and he got a whole bunch of money from, and I thought it was Dazen.
I don't know.
We'll check that out.
A big streaming platform that launched actually in 2016, but in the last couple of years they've acquired a lot of MMA and boxing. And so
here's the question. Are they going to give us what we want, given the response after the last fight? You know, say what you will about Joshua, but listen, Ruiz, he's got our interest back. Okay, are they going to give us? These guys got to make a fight, but moving forward, do you think they hurt us? Hurt the boxing fans? And they're going to do what they can to give us the fights we want, given the fact that you got UFC right over here on this, you know, in the next yard.
You can only hope that they hear it. Or if people don't subscribe to what they put out there, then that may be the way that people let them know that.
All right. Well, coming up next, I'm going to give you guys a piece of information. It may make you a little bit nervous. It was waiting for me when I got in here this morning. It affects all of us. And again, we might have to give Bruce Willis a call. Along with that, some jobs in the film and television industry. It's a casting call. Coming up, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.